This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit GoldenOakLending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game 3 tomorrow at the world's most famous arena. And BT, we started the show talking about this. This might be, we always talk about the championship windows, and okay, well, this is year one with this group together. Maybe they have a 3-year window, 4-year, whatever it may be. But this might be their best opportunity. We might be right smack in the middle of it now, where you take everything into account, what could potentially be ahead, the fact that they're up 2-0 on the biggest roadblock that seemed to be there, the reigning champs. They won the 2 games on the road, so they're returning home. We mentioned the Pacers and the Cavs. Maybe this is going to be the best chance that the New York Knicks will have to win that elusive championship since 1973.
Nobody wants to look at it that way, but I agree with you. You know, it doesn't mean that it will be, but your point is that it could be, and I'm with you. I mean, the easiest thing to do is say, well, listen, we got this, we got that, we got this, we got that. We have a couple of years to get this thing going. It's almost like a reassuring self-defense mechanism. Now we're good. Our core's good. We got a couple of swings at this. Yeah, you have a couple of swings at it, but you might not have the circumstances lined up as favorably as they have that Sal just outlined. Home court advantage, teams you didn't want to play in the conference semis that you thought you'd see in the conference finals. Very well, you might be the one that disposes of that team. And then the other team that most of us weren't sure how you matched up against, the Cavaliers, they might be gone as well. So much has changed. And not just that, Sal. Think about from like a Yankee perspective. I know we'll do a little baseball later, and maybe they'll be able to work around this when Luis Gil comes back. I don't know. But, you know, last year in the World Series, like, all right, let's go run it back and see what happens with Soto. Obviously a big offseason storyline, but we all assumed that Gerrit Cole would be pitching this year. He didn't throw one pitch.
Right.
You know what I mean? So Sean Manaea, I mean, who developed into the ace for the Mets last year when he really changed his windup, and hopefully he gets back soon and does well. That he should, but he hasn't thrown a pitch yet this year, meaningful pitch. So you don't know year to year, not always the same chemistry, not always the same circumstances. I agree, this could be the best chance to win.
It's happened a lot with the Mets, 2006. Okay, well, don't worry because they lost the Cardinals. They'll be back in 07 and 08 with this group. No, like collapse. And then that was it. The windows that you thought may be there, or the Mets taking over the town, those windows all of a sudden closed. Even going back to 2022, okay, well, 2023 is going to be the next step. No, it doesn't work like that. So the Knicks right now, I mean, look, we always say when you have an opportunity, you're close, you better kick in the door because you don't know if you're going to ever have this opportunity again. The Knicks being fully healthy, other teams being compromised, the Celtics and the Cavs, the fact that they're already 2 wins away from the Eastern Conference Finals, I mean, the wins now are starting to, less wins to win the championship. All of a sudden, you start checking them off. You win 4 in the first round, you already got 2 in the next round. Dude, you do the math. I mean, they, 10 wins away from an NBA title?
They are.
I mean,
well, the other thing that I think you have to factor in probably more with the NBA than any other sport is player movement. And you know, that's one thing that I've looked at. Like, I can tell you this. I don't think Giannis is on the Bucks next year. And I don't think he's necessarily on the Knicks. I don't think they've got enough to give him up with the Bridges trade. But does he wind up with the Pacers? Does he wind up with the Heat? Does he wind up with the Celtics? Does he wind up with a young Magic team? Does he wind up with the Pistons? I mean, I don't know. But that could also further complicate your road. Talking about injuries and home court. There could be a player who very well might shift the entire dynamics of what the Knicks could do next year.
Yeah, and look, there's a long way to go, not only to the championship, but in this series specifically. And as it pertains to tomorrow, I do think it is a must win. I'm not using literal. Obviously, we know it's not a literal must win for the Knicks. I think it's imperative, BT, that the Knicks keep this momentum, show that they could win at home, and just stomp out any hope, any life whatsoever that the Celtics might have an opportunity to gain back in a win in Game 3. I think it's imperative the Knicks win this Game 3 tomorrow afternoon.
I wasn't the only one who was very connected to last year's Knicks team. And I wasn't the only one who was very connected to that team that had a rough time, either because I was reluctant, but also because I just didn't love what I was seeing, to quite connect to this year's team. And I think that that applies to a lot of the people who go to these games at the Garden. I think there's more and more evidence to connect to this team. And let's differentiate between support. Of course, you're a Knicks fan, you support. But like that real passionate, undeniable connection, I think it's growing. And I think as it grows and the Knicks stack wins, the Garden's got to become a house of horrors. And if it does, honestly, they could do anything this year.
Put fear in the opponents and leave no doubt from the home fans that we know you go to that game or we watch a game at the Garden, it's going to be a nightmare for the opponents. I think the Knicks, I feel like home court, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, because of the way the game has evolved with all the threes, the home court doesn't mean as much as it used to. If there's any team in the league who can regain that home court advantage and really make it stick, it should be the Knicks. The way that they play hard, the way that they play defense, the way that Tibbs has had these guys playing all these minutes, the heart that they possess with Brunson and Josh Hart and showing all that toughness. If anybody should have an advantage, you would think it would be the Knicks and playing in front of the Madison Square Garden faithful.
They definitely should, but the opposite of that is being okay at home. And they were okay at home this year. But also having those characteristics where you're unflappable on the road. So what would you rather have? Like a home team that's completely dominant at home, but also, kind of predictably falling short on the road, or a team that's, I know they haven't been good in the playoffs here, but good at home, but also really good on the road.
It's an excellent point, because your feel, like the feel that I used to have with the Knicks would be, going on the road, it's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't have that feeling. Now I don't care where they play, you feel good about it.
Me too.
But the feel that I used to have with the Knicks at home was, they're not going to be beat at home. And now it's, I don't know. Anything could happen at home.
5.5-point dogs tomorrow, by the way.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
People think of the same thing.
Up 2-0. At home for Game 3 and 5.5-point dogs?
Yep.
You think there's, we talked about this the other day after Game 1, and we said flat out, I didn't think the Knicks were going to be favored in any game after that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they won Game 2 the same way that they won Game 1, I'm a little surprised that it's a 5.5-point spread. And I would be surprised if the Knicks won Game 3 that they weren't at least favored. Like, at some point, you got to stop the trend, right? Celtics have been favored every game of the series, and the Knicks have just been upsetting. What are you going to be favorites again in Game 4?
Well, they were 9.5. I think it went off at 9.5 Game 1. Dogs, they were getting 9.5. Then Game 2, it went up because the thought was, well, the Knicks can't replicate this. And also, maybe more specifically, Boston will just have to be better from 3.
Right.
So it went from 9.5 to 10, but yet the Knicks followed the same script. So now it goes from 10 to, now, I don't know where it is right now, but it went
off. It was 5.5 yesterday.
5.5. So you're not really accounting a ton for the Garden right now. And you're not really, it's still, basically, they're still saying we think the Celtics are better.
Even the price of the series.
Oh, yeah.
Shows you that.
I know.
I mean, the fact that the Knicks are up 2-0 returning home. Now, it swung significantly from the Celtics were -700, or one point they were -1,000.
They were, -1,000.
But then I think before Game 1, I'm pretty sure it came down to the 800 or 750, something like that, more realistic area. But the fact that the Knicks would win the first two games on the road, coming home and still only be even money with the Celtics.
And I think the Celtics are even money,
that's
too.
That's what I'm saying,
I think they're both.
I think the Knicks were like roughly
minus 135. Basically the point being, one team's down 0-2 and they pretty much have the same odds to win the series.
There's something I saw on social media that I think you're going to like here as it pertains to this series. So this is Tommy Beer, who I'm not sure if you know.
I've seen his stuff. I don't know him personally, but I've seen his stuff.
I don't know him either, but he does very good work. I'm just reading his Twitter bio.
A lot of film stuff I've seen, yeah. I've seen a lot of tweets, yeah.
He's the author and founder of Knicks Centric. Substack, whatever that means, I'm not familiar with it, but I follow him on social media.
Uh-huh.
And he goes into some detail about OG Anunoby. We talked before about, like, is it more about the Celtics struggling or you give credit to the Knicks? And I do think it's more about the Celtics struggling, but obviously a part of that is giving credit to the Knicks. You were saying before you give more credit to the Knicks than it is the Celtics struggling. Well, OG Anunoby, and we know this, but now there are numbers and metrics to back it up. But this is Tommy Beer on social media. Per NBA tracking data, OG Anunoby was the primary defender on Tatum for 39 of the Celtics' offensive possessions in Game 2.
Mm-hmm.
Over those 39 possessions, Tatum attempted just one shot, which he missed. Think about how much of 39 possessions.
Do we know how many total possessions they had?
I don't. I mean, I'm sure we could look that up.
Okay. I mean, generally, you take about 80 shots, 85, whatever. Okay,
but the fact that he would basically prevent him from getting the ball.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tracking data here as I further read the article. Celtics shooting 5 of 29 with Anunoby as the primary defender in the series. 5 of 29 with Anunoby as defender. Now, that's just the shots that they got off.
That they got off, yeah.
But more to the point where a lot of what Anunoby is doing defensively cannot be seen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
With metrics because he's preventing Tatum from getting the ball.
I like it. I would like to know, like, I could say the subset of that, and I do like those numbers, you're right. But, like, what's the subset there? Is it because the Celtics are kind of saying, all right, rather than having Jason Tatum, rather than us forcing the ball to Tatum and then having Tatum four shots against an elite defender,
yeah,
do we attack a different weakness of the Knicks? And we all know that two guys on the court are pretty vulnerable. That would be Cat and Brunson. So I don't think it's, I mean, I'm not trying to take away the praise from OG. I love him, and he's doing a hell of a job, but maybe,
it actually backs your point even further.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe the Celtics aren't incredibly committed to try to attack something that they don't love. Rather, they're like, oh, we can exploit this guy here and that guy there.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not sure the offensive philosophies now. It seems like just chucking up threes left and right. They're going to do that regardless, win or lose. But okay, that's great that those metrics are there. But if you watch the game, and everybody does here while watching these games, you see the Celtics have had good looks that are just not falling. Now, maybe a little of that is a lack of confidence. I do think the Knicks have a significant psychological advantage. We're coming into the series. I don't think you could say that because the Knicks hadn't beaten them yet. Even when fully healthy, they had a good performance, came down to the wire, but the Knicks still lost, and it's kind of deflating where you think, man, we just played a hell of a game and still came up short against these guys.
Yes.
What do we got to do to beat them?
Yeah.
And now that they've beat them twice in their building in the fashion that they did, I think the Knicks own the psychological advantage. You could also see the way the Celtics are shooting. They're awful, all of them. They're not even close on some of these threes.
You know, it's funny because you talk about that psychological edge, and I'm just trying to think, like, if imagine you and I were on the Knicks, right?
Yeah.
We're actually playing here. Like, would you feel worse about getting blown out? See, like, when you get blown out, there's ways to rationalize, we didn't have this guy, we're a little rusty, we had an off night. Like, you can kind of rationalize getting blown out a little. Now, sometimes you can talk yourself into being better than you are, but I do think that that's one avenue. I think it was almost more detrimental. Now, they've corrected this to their credit. More detrimental to the Knicks' psyche that they gave everything they could in that last game against the Celtics.
Right.
You know, Jalen Brown didn't play the second half, and this happened, and that. And they still couldn't beat them. Wouldn't you think that on some level that's more damaging?
I could see it that way, yeah. Like, and we watched the game. I was encouraged that at least I said, okay, well, the disparity is not that great. Yeah, they played a great game. Remember, we had the conversation after the game, and you were saying that exact same thing, like, I just saw the Knicks give their best punch, and they still came up short.
That worried me.
But for me, it was at least, okay, well, they're on kind of level footing here. If you play that game best of seven, you're going to win a few of those games.
Yeah, if they call the travel on Tatum at the end, he hit the three, he clearly traveled. So, yeah, sure.
But point is that the confidence level, I could see how you'd almost be deflated, being like, God, we just gave this team everything that we got.
Yeah.
What's it going to take to beat them? But now, after you beat them, look at it from the Celtics' perspective. They got to be thinking, man, we were up 20 twice at home, up 16 late in the fourth quarter in the second game, and yeah, we lost those games. Like, what do the Celtics have to do to feel comfortable going into the fourth quarter against this Knicks team?
Think about, you'll like this one. It's probably a pretty obvious direction which way I'm going. Think about the first Rocky-Apollo fight.
Yeah.
The first one.
Yeah.
When Apollo's like, this guy's done, and Rocky comes back out, and for a moment, you see Apollo like, oh, man.
The hell do I got to do?
Like, there's resignation. Like, man, I just can't put this dude down.
Right.
Celtics have to be feeling an element of that. We just can't put these guys down.
What do you think would, like, tomorrow, if the Knicks are down 10 going into the fourth quarter, obviously you're not going to be happy, but I still feel like they could win the game. You got to feel like that after it's happened again.
I would feel nervous, ironically.
See, in game two, I did not believe the Knicks were coming back.
Me neither. I almost mentally said, it's 1-1. Yeah. I started to. I pretty much did.
Game one, third quarter, I felt that way. But game two, I was like, okay, here we go. I couldn't believe that they came back and won that game. But now, after I've seen that, and plus being at home, I think it would help. I would not be concerned down 10 in the fourth quarter to where it's got to be on the Celtics' mind. Oh, we better not blow this again.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a part in the Knicks' mind where we're okay because we've been here before.
Yes and no. Remember yesterday I got the example like a closer kind of missing the strike zone at home versus being on the road, Sal? Well, the Celtics are hearing those groans from their home fans. Like when they take a big lead and suddenly that basket gets really tight, you know, they're missing a boatload of threes. You hear the groan, oh, God, come on. Like that anticipatory explosion, and then it's like, ah. Oh. That feeds into their mind negatively. If they start to say, if they have a big lead, to your point, in the fourth quarter, a big-ish lead, and you know they miss a couple of threes, the Garden crowd won't be doing that because they're Knicks fans, not Celtic fans. They won't be disenchanted. Now we'll be happy, but they won't sigh when the Celtics miss a three, which could free them up psychologically. So I don't even know if that would be. That's why I don't think I'd feel great. Like if the Knicks are down biggish in the fourth quarter, I think it's over tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm not saying they'll come back and win game four, but I don't think they're going back to back. No.
How do you think the game plays tomorrow?
I think the Knicks get off to a decent start.
Some more even throughout the first few quarters?
I think the Knicks might be leading at the half. Close. I'm not saying, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 points. I think the Celtics make a run in the third quarter, and I think the Knicks find a way to win it late, but not in crazy come-from-behind fashion.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I'd hope we get a closer game throughout than what we've seen the first two times. It's fun to come back when it's unlikely, but let's not make it.
Is it, though? Is it really, though? Think about the angst. But that's just after you're sitting through a lot of agita.
Yeah, those comebacks are a lot more fun when it seems like you're grasping a victory from, what is it, the jaws
from of defeat? From the jaws of defeat.
Yeah, there you go, whatever. So when it comes back from out of nowhere, that's always the more enjoyable thing because it's shocking. So you're like, holy crap, I can't believe this is happening. This is incredible. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to have to go through that every single time.
No, I don't. I'd like to win by 12 going away.
Mets-Yankees, first installment of the Subway Series 2025. It should be one of the more, it has to be the most anticipated one, maybe outside the first one. I'm trying to think of other ones. Obviously, they're always highly anticipated, but Soto's return after leaving the Yankees to sign with the Mets is going to be historic.
What about when Dwight pitched at Shea? This has more buildup.
Yeah, I was at that one.
Oh, you went to that?
Yeah.
That was a doubleheader, right?
Yeah.
That was when they bust, right?
The second game was when Clemens drilled Piazza
in the
head.
That's right.
So the first game, the Yankees beat, Doc Gooden was great. Yankees beat the Mets. And then that second game with with Piazza getting drilled, which started the whole Clemens-Piazza thing. Yeah, I mean, there's always been great anticipation and excitement around this. I think it's different this time.
It is.
So my dilemma is, and you've already made your decision, you're not going to the game. We had tickets to the game.
Knicks.
We're going to go as a show. You're going to go watch it. Now, what if there is no Game 6? So you already backed out.
I made my decision. I got to live by it. I'm all good with that. Yep. If he needs the money, I got him.
No. I think we'll find a replacement. So my dilemma is not even the Knicks, and I'm hoping that there's no Game 6 at this point, but it's that the game is 7:05, because I was just talking to Loogie out in the newsroom, and I'm like, well, what are you going to do? Because they're doing the show, I guess. Evan and Tiki are doing their show from Yankee Stadium for the Subway Series.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to watch probably Soto's first at bat and then go either to the Knicks or I don't know, he's going to go watch the Knicks, whatever. I'm like, okay. And then it hit me that, oh, crap, like, I got to be in the building for Soto's first at bat. I got SNY, which goes till 6:30. And it's a huge show because it's Subway Series. Like, I can't take off the show.
Yeah.
But then by the time I get on the subway and go uptown,
you're going to miss his first at-bat.
I can't. Well, then why go?
Don't.
I can't go if I'm going to. I want to watch Soto's first at-bat. So now I have a real problem here. To 7. I was looking. I was hoping it was 7:30.
No.
7:30 I can make. It's 7:05.
Yeah, that's what it is. 7:05. They don't do 7:30 in the Bronx.
And then you know what that's like getting in the stadium at that time. It's going to take 25 minutes probably just to get in the stadium.
He'd be there in the third inning.
I got an issue here. I don't know what to do about it.
Don't go. Issue solved. Honestly.
I'd like to be in the building, and I committed to this.
Okay.
Do the show from the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
You mean the SNY show?
Yeah, yes. Well, maybe I could, the way I could maybe ask SNY if, hey, get somebody else to host, and I could appear on the show from the stadium. Maybe that's the way to do it.
Well, that also entails another cost there, because I don't want to speak for their budget, but I mean, you know, now they've got to... camera or something set up out there for you.
Well, they might have a camera anyway. It's obviously somebody's going to be there. But yeah, potentially. Would be the only way I thought of that, though. But I have to ask them and see.
So in the order of importance to you, Knicks game 6, seeing Soto's first at bat, or just being one row from him on the field and feeling the energy all night, list in the order of importance here.
Well, the order of importance, honestly, is doing the show. Like, that's my favorite thing. But that's a part of it that would hurt me. Like, I got it.
You know, no, you're not going to not be, of course.
Everyone's like, oh, you're going to opening day? Yeah, I used to go. I went to 18 straight opening days, and then I started working.
Then I had responsibilities.
Yeah, and I love being on SNY aren't here for those big days. Come on, it's Mets Yankee Subway Series.
That's why you
work
the nondescript days.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, come on.
That's why you do it.
That's exactly right. You do it for those big payoffs. So there's nothing that could get me to miss that show. But if I could split the difference and do a hit from the stadium, maybe, again, something I would consider. All right, if you eliminate the work responsibility, would I rather watch the Knicks game 6?
Or, yeah, that's one option.
Or, right.
Soto's first at bat, literally just to hear the first.
Yeah.
Or to be there, you know, for the final 8 innings and be able to take in everything from which are 6 seats in right field. Touching the right field.
If it were not front row right field, it would be a non-starter. I could sit anywhere else. I've sat everywhere else. Not to be a snob, but like,
no, I got
it doesn't matter. But the appeal is that Mitch happens to have these front row seats in right field for this particular series. I think I'd want to be there for the whole game or the majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be there for his first at bat.
Yeah.
What could see in a second or third? If you're not there for the first, no?
Well, we could hit a home run a second.
I know, but still.
No, I know what you mean. Like that first visceral reaction.
Oh, that's the one.
Well, I got news for it. That reaction is going to be there all night. So
I know.
You know.
I hate going to games
that's
late.
Tough call.
It is a tough call.
Yep. It's a pain in the ass getting into these stadiums now.
Oh, God.
Understandably
so. 40-minute subway there. Like, I got to figure that. Point is, I got to figure this out.
I figured mine out early.
You might have made the right decision. All right, PT and Sal, the fan, back to the phones. John is on Staten Island. What's up, John?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you?
Good. How are you, John?
What's up, John?
I'm doing well. Listen, boys, I have not heard this. This is my pet peeve. If you want true home court advantage tomorrow, which I do, every foul has to be a hard foul. No soft fouls given. They are not tougher than us. And you have to use people like Precious Achiuwa or Campaign off the bench to absorb those big fouls. If Jaylen Brown is driving to the lane, you hit him hard. I don't want them to get their 3-point shot back. Jason Tatum, another one. Hit him hard. That is all I have to say, because it drives me crazy. If you're going to take the foul, hit him hard. That's what we did in the 90s. That's the difference. And that will make 90s. MSG explode.
Yeah.
John, I love listen, me and Sal, we both appreciate the sentiment. Number one, the Knicks aren't, they're not an inherently tough team. They're mentally tough. So now you're asking, like, think about the question we asked. Oh, should the Celtics deviate from their offensive approach? And the answer is no. Do what you do that got you here. Now you're saying that the Knicks should deviate what they do and how they play defensively, which could actually get them out of whack. You know, I'm never against a hard foul and putting somebody on the ground in the playoffs. I'm never against that. But if you go hunting that, I think it gets you off your game.
Yeah, you're speaking our language. I mean, nobody loves the 90s Knicks the way that we do. We talk about it constantly so much, probably too much.
Probably too much, yeah.
Yeah, but the sports evolve. Like, you got to evolve your thought process. That's not going to get the crowd go. I know what you're saying, and yeah, we would get behind that. Knicks fans love that toughness and physicality. The sport has changed. They're not the 90s team. They're far more talented. You know what to get the crowd going? How about Mikal Bridges hitting a three in the first quarter for a change? That'll get the crowd going. Guys knocking down shots early, getting out to a lead early, playing tough defense. You can play tough defense like Anunoby has, like Bridges has, without, or Mitch Robinson, without being physical the way that it was in the 90s. I don't think you need
it's
that.
It's not happening. Yeah. And yet it's not happening. And that's okay as long as the other elements are there. And to your point, I'd like to see him there from the opening tip.
Yeah. Dino is in Bayside, Queens. What's up, Dino?
Dino!
Yo, guys, you guys got to rock the house. Where is the rap song? Go, New York. Go, New York. Let's go, Knicks. Where's the song?
Yeah.
You guys are sitting all day.
Should we put it on loop for 4 hours?
Play it out. It's not about the song at this point to me. I mean, everybody's singing the song. You want to get that? You can get that elsewhere. You want passion and legit Knicks fandom and sports talk? That's what you get here. You need us to play the song for you? You get a CD of it? Go look it up on YouTube. I mean, come on, Dino.
Listen, by the way, in the UFC, you never underestimate your opponent. Let's go, New York Knicks!
Dino, thanks for the call. I mean,
he's ready.
You know what turns me off?
They're not underestimating
him. With the songs, like, that's what, you know, that's what everybody's doing. That's what, like, the Fairweather fans are doing. That song was great in the 90s. And I do love it, and we've played that, and we can play it. Sure, we'll play it on the show. It doesn't get you pumped up, but like...
I remember the first time I heard it.
Oh, Mike, I had the CD. The Go New York, legit, I had
you
the
did?
CD on there. Yeah.
Had
highlights of like sound bites of when the Knicks drafted Ewing and other highlights on there. But
yeah. Oh, God. Actually, I used to date somebody that was in the video. City Dancer.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're going to leave it at that.
We're going to leave it at that.
No, I love this song. Like, this song, I don't, there's not a better song. There's not a better team song. Football teams don't have it. You know, the Mets have, what was the one we played the other day? Oh, the Shuffle.
Yeah, the Curly Shuffle.
And then we played the Lido Shuffle. Yeah. You know, the Yankees have, you know, Cotton Eye Joe, YMCA. Like, the Knicks song is just money.
But to me, the Knicks song was great when it had Ewing, Oak, Harp, like those.
I understand. There's different versions, for sure.
Yeah.
But so, it's still the beat that gets you going.
I get it. Yeah, fair enough. And they do it with the guard. That's fine. I like hearing it at the guard one, you know, timeout, third quarter. Knicks
they always played it the right time, too.
Yeah, they nail it.
They know what to drop.
They know what they're doing. I mean, but that's what you want. You want us to come on and sing a song for 4 hours? Eddie is calling from Long Island. What's up, Eddie?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up, Ed?
Yeah, listen, these guys were huge underdogs coming into this series. They win two games on the road, coming back from 20. This is not a tough team. You got three guys from Villanova who won national championships. They know how to win games. It doesn't matter if they win by one, by 11. What are we talking about? This is amazing what's going on here.
And nobody's saying it's not, nobody's not acknowledging it. We're just wondering, can they keep winning this way? Of course it's amazing.
Well, listen, they know how to win. That's the most important thing. These guys have won before. They're winning again.
Yeah, but Eddie,
the previous caller was right. You got to get Precious Achiuwa in there to absorb some fouls.
I like him. There's no reason that he can't play 3 to 4 minutes a half. I don't disagree. But it's, you know, I mean Precious Achiuwa, so we don't have to go bonkers on this. But I think he's more of a. It seems like me and Boomer are the only ones here that like him. Like. I respect his game, and I would like Tom Thibodeau to use him just a little bit more, like a little bit more than nothing would be satisfactory for me. But because they won in college, I mean, guys, it's a good story. I do think it adds to their on-court cohesion, but it doesn't. It's college. It's just like if you're in college. You know, what you did in high school doesn't matter. When you're in the pros, it doesn't really matter what you did in college. Just the way it goes.
I'm so glad you brought this up. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I got to be honest here. I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Nova stuff. I don't care. most Knicks fans don't care about Villanova. Villanova's Villanova. They were great there. That's fine. This is the Knicks. It's Madison Square Garden. I don't want to hear about Jay Wright or what they did at Villanova. I don't care. You know the championship in Villanova, what they won? Brunson won his two. Hard won his one. You know what they did for me? Mm. Nothing. Nothing. I'm a Knicks fan. Yeah. And here, they haven't won yet. They haven't even gotten out of the second round yet. Now, we hope that they can. They're two wins away from that. But my God.
Now, here's where.
Enough with the Nova Knicks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even the commercial that you see 30,000 times a night with Dante. Hey,
good
Dante, here's that. No, it's a great commercial.
Yeah.
But talk about being overplayed at this point. My God. It's anyway. So the way it would hit home more is if it was St. John's. And not just because I'm dying, but because St. John's is here. Like, imagine if you had Ron Artest, who the Knicks should have drafted instead of Freddie Mize. Yeah. And, I don't know, Bootsy was on that team, and Postel. Like, you had three Johnnies who won champ. Like, I got it. Or Chris Mullin and Walter Berry back in the day were on the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, along with Mark Jackson, obviously, who was and won the Rookie of the Year. It's more than cute. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm certainly not trying to disrespect it. I love the core essence of what that Villanova trio now represents. I love it. But there's an expiration point on how long we're going to ride this thing.
Yeah, and my point is, I'm not saying that it can't work or they can't have success. Obviously, they love playing together and have fun, specifically Brunson and Hart. We know how great they are. All I'm saying is, I don't care where they come from. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care what college you come from, where you come from. We've had this conversation all the time. Even if it were St. John's, from my perspective, doesn't matter. I want to see the New York Knicks win. You could come from Oklahoma State, Illinois, Virginia Union, Villanova.
Oh, look at you, little Charles Oakley, little Starks, and now John went to like four schools.
Yeah, I know. Well, from Oklahoma State.
All right, hold on. Hubert Davis.
North Carolina.
Yeah, Herb Williams. It's a tough one.
Williams, I forget where.
Ohio State.
Oh, okay,
that was back in the day.
Derek Harper, I remember.
Oakley,
Virginia Union.
Definitely. Same as Ben
Stokes,
Wallace.
Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Derek Harper, Illinois.
Yep. Who we forget?
Ewing,
here.
Georgetown.
Obviously, Charles Smith, Pitt.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that
you
one.
You didn't know Pitt? Well, okay.
I mean, I just would have forgot that one.
Yeah. Greg Anthony, UNLV.
Mace.
Mace was at, I know he played Springfield Gardens High School with Norm Roberts.
Right.
Where the hell did Mace play in college?
See, here we go again with the 90s Knicks.
I know. By the way, if you don't care about where they went to college, do you care about where they eat wings?
I do.
Yeah. Looks like they found a good joint.
I told you that place, Candlelight.
I saw a picture. These wings are the size of an arm.
That's where we went. I was showing you the picture. That's where we went the night Mitch and me and you and Hoff went to the Saturday night main event at the Coliseum. You left because we came separate ways, and then Hoff, me, and Mitch went to Candlelight.
Got a little grease to negate the booze flowing through the system.
Well, now I was having surf sides all night long, so I was like, I just needed food. Anything was going to be good, but those wings at Candlelight were superior. And then Hoff is texting us last night.
That's where they go.
Hey, I told you guys Candlelight was a good spot because Brunson and Hart were hanging out
right
there
after the game. I guess they're probably the jet there. The Knicks private charter hit the tarmac, and they got in their cars, and then they went right from there right to get wings after the game to win.
Mitch has been, it's only 15 minutes away, Hoff is saying, Mitch has been trying to get us to go there after the Yankee game on Friday. The problem is, I'm like, dude, it's Friday night. Like,
Is Mitch married?
No.
Mitch having kids,
he doesn't
have a responsibility.
He doesn't have a girlfriend, but he's living the life.
He does whatever he wants.
Yeah, I know.
It's different, Mitch.
I can't do that. My wife would kill me to come home at 2 in the morning.
That's why if you went heavy on the Mother's Day, maybe you get a free pass.
Before we get back to the calls, 888-808-1019, I knew this was going to come up. I just didn't know when, and unfortunately it has come up right now, as Evan Roberts about 20 minutes ago brought this to social media. So did you hear about Jerry wearing a Porzingis jersey today?
I did.
Okay.
I saw some of the social. I saw the video too.
Okay, so no big deal. Jerry, I guess Fanatic sent them a Porzingis jersey. Jerry's a Nets fan anyway, so he felt the need to put on the Porzingis jersey. And as I heard about that, I was like, oh, I hope nobody brings up the fact that I once wore a Celtics jersey.
That you did?
That I did. Now, this was years ago, years ago.
Why'd you wear it?
Okay, let me ask
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Did you change allegiances?
Okay. All right, let me ask you, why do you think I would wear a Celtics jersey? Recent history.
Something with the Nets?
Okay, it's a good guess. It's a great guess. It's accurate. So Evan tweeted, who wore it better, picture of Jerry in a Celtics jersey, and then a picture of me in my Celtics jersey.
Oh, he pulled you into this?
Yeah.
Oh,
but the picture was originally from when the Nets were playing, the Nets with KD and Harden.
Yeah, of course.
When they were all talking that smack, like the Nets were the premier team in town. I went to my closet.
Keep going, boy. He pulled you into this, dude.
I went to my closet, and I pulled out my Celtics jersey. Now,
but why'd you have a Celtics jersey?
Okay, so that's a good question. So back in the early 90s, whatever, mid-90s, I collected jerseys. I have a bunch of old jerseys. And it was a Celtics, one of my favorite players of all time, Dominique.
When he went to Boston after he ruptured his Achilles.
Yes.
Yeah, Dominique was, yeah.
I loved Dominique with the Hawks. And then when he went to the Celtics, I thought that would be, because he was one of my favorite players.
Yep.
And, you know, not a true Celtic. And also, remember, maybe I know.
You almost asked for trouble without even asking for it.
But that was it. That was trolling, I admit.
I'd be mad at Evan. He's doing you dirty with that.
I was trolling. Well, he's getting me back because I was trolling his net specifically. I posted that smiling with my Dominique Celtics jersey after the Nets had been eliminated or whatever it was. But remember, too, BT, you're a little bit older than me, so maybe you hate the Celtics more.
I don't even hate them.
Yeah, okay.
I was always jealous of them.
So I don't even, like, I didn't really live through the Larry Bird Celtics being great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know about the history of it, but when I was in a basketball, it was Jordan and the Bulls. That was
the Bad Boys
team.
A little bit, I'm sure. Like, did you get the early stages or no?
Even that was just a very, but yeah, more so than the Celtics. The Celtics were what the Knicks were the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. They were the doormat.
Yeah, they were,
They were garbage. The Celtics were garbage and trash when I was growing up. Like, the Boston radio. So that's what they were then. Obviously, they've turned the corner since in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, they were garbage. So I had no issue. It wasn't like the hate for the Celtics.
That's just a bad picture to emerge, buddy.
The Heat, the Pacers, the Bulls, now the Sixers.
The Rockets.
Yeah, the Rockets. You know, the Lakers. They never had a Lakers jersey.
Did you have, like, say, a Damon Stoudemire Toronto Raptors, dinosaur one?
No.
Did you have, like, what?
My buddy Vin had that one, but no, I did not.
And what other jerseys did you have in
Grant
this
Hill
extensive
Pistons,
collection?
Grant Hill Pistons.
Okay.
Mitch Richmond.
Kings.
Kings.
Okay.
Sean Kemp.
A couple good ones there.
Sonics.
That's a good one.
I mean,
those are good ones.
Charles Barkley's Suns.
That's a good one. Won the MVP. Okay.
I had a million Knicks. Charlie Ward, Hubert, you name it. I mean, if they played on the Knicks, I had their jersey.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't doubt that, but I'm just distressed by the fact that you have one Celtics jersey.
I had an Ed O'Bannon Nets jersey.
With the tie-dye?
The red and no. What do you mean tie-dye?
Like
the old red and blue regular?
Yeah, when they were still in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
This is not something I want to see today. I'm not going to lie to you.
But I explained it to you.
I know you explained it, but...
I was trolling Nets fans.
Yeah, but just look at the visual. And you know what's tough about that? You look so happy in the picture.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was.
You look like you're in good shape. You got a little white hoodie under it.
I know, you look pretty thin there.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but you look good.
No.
Like the picture of Jerry. Jerry's a Nets guy. So that means nothing. And didn't Gio wear the
What
was that for? To jinx them?
It was the same thing. We were both in the same spot there. I mean, he took it to another level.
But I think you project. I know he likes the Knicks, Gio, but I think you project your Knicks energy a lot more than Greg. Like, you came in to do a fill-in show before you and I started working, or you were filling in the afternoon. Yeah, I thought you were going to hit the layup line. You had white stockings on. You had
I'm a Knicks
socks,
fan.
Socks, Knick jersey, Knick white shorts. Or I think it was the blue, actually.
I love the Knicks. It. Yeah.
This picture's a bad spot there. This changes a lot about, not how I view you, but like how I'm, the energy of the show just changed today. I honestly wish you didn't even tell me about this.
And
honestly, I think Evan did you really dirty. That's a dirty move by Evan. Now, if it's out there for public consumption, if you did it, it is what it is. But for him to strategically float this today, going into the weekend.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing then, Evan. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
Thank you, Evan. As I scrape myself off the tarmac, as you guys bulldozed me yesterday, I will do that, BT. I will sell my soul and go wear Devils a jersey and all kinds of stuff like our buddy does. You won't find pictures of me in a Braves jersey. Like, you'll find
You also won't find a picture of you watching game two of the playoffs.
Well, listen, I'm here to clear my name and make a proposition to you guys. I let you guys play with it yesterday. I gave you guys a great segment. To be fair, I was up at 3 a.m. in the morning, okay? And my mistake was I didn't prioritize the Knicks by taking an old man nap in the afternoon. Instead, I watched the darn Mets game, and then I tried to lay down and watch the Knicks. And yes, the game ended up watching me. But you guys murdered me. To say that I am not a diehard Knicks fan.
All right, now, Hector, hold on a second, buddy. Hold on.
Watching games, Sal. You know better than
this
that.
Is some different, this is different evidence here, though. We can only react to what you told us, and what you told us was you willingly did not watch the Knick game. Now you telling us you fell asleep. Now I still would have bagged on you for being, not being able to suck it up and make it through the game. But if you're up at 3, like, you left that out. That's important stuff.
No.
But not enough to get off the hook. You can't watch game.
No. But wait. You put me in jail yesterday. You don't want me to watch the game.
Correct.
Here's the deal. You know I am also a very diehard Mets fan. Equally both. I have tickets to tonight's game. I have tickets to tomorrow's game. Giveaways on both days, which means you have to be there early. Okay. If I stay home to watch the entirety of the Knicks game tomorrow and bypass the Mets giveaway and get there whenever I get there, would I be allowed to watch the game, or do I still have to not watch the game?
It's interesting. I can see that you're trying to read some penance here. I do appreciate that,
son. For him, that's a big deal.
It is. What's the giveaway, by the way? Is it something good or something weak?
Good point.
I think it's an Edwin Diaz bobblehead.
Yeah, you don't want that. He stinks. What's next? A Mike Minter gnome? Joe's going to knock down somebody's door for Joe Peninga with those gnomes? That's quite the concession there, Hector. I'm going to, because I like you. I do. I know Sal loves you. I like you. but only because you know him better. Like, I think he's the kind of guy that I would love. I think I've met him. He's a great guy. I love what he stands for. Good dude. You do that. If you truly do that, you're out of jail.
I like that.
Then you're good.
You know, I showed a little more mercy on him yesterday than you did.
He's trying to do the right thing. Yeah.
He did the wrong thing.
Get in here. Evan, get in here. Come here.
Oh, God.
Dude. Now he's antagonizing you.
How long were you sitting on that one? Because
I've been sitting on that since the day the Nets lost. I've been waiting.
What year was that? How many years ago?
Oh, what was it? 2022. We got swept. Right. Same thing with Gio's picture. I've got that waiting too. I'm just waiting for the right time.
So you fired mine first, and now you're going to wait for Gio.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. I mean, it's pretty obvious what I'm waiting for. I have my own leprechaun outfit. And if, God forbid, the Celtics figure this thing out.
You look like a leprechaun. You don't need an outfit.
So you'll get a who wore it best between me and G. Hopefully. Hopefully. Maybe not. Who knows?
No, Ev, I got to tell you. All right. Well played.
I have one question.
Dirty, dude. Dirty.
I have one question. I cannot figure out this answer. So we have that segment posted in Tosin.
Yeah.
BT, classy guy, has not deleted one tweet.
No.
That's what makes him fun.
All right.
Gio hasn't deleted one tweet, what makes him fun.
Mm-hmm.
You have scrubbed your Twitter account.
Yes.
Like he's a politician, dude.
But he doesn't scrub that, BT.
Like a politician.
Why scrub that? I'm not embarrassed at that.
You ruined the tenor of the show. You heard what Brandon said.
The tone's changed a little bit.
Mine.
The tone's changed. I'm sure in some of the listeners mind too, buddy. I'm not going to retweet that.
Yeah.
If I retweet that, I mean,
I can't. Tell me I have a Dominique Wilkins Celtics jersey. I'm not allowed to have that. I bought it when I was 15 years old.
Do we know for a fact that it says Wilkins on the back?
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
But in the picture, you think people care about that? They just see green and white.
But it was
and a big smile.
It's also got to be context. I told you the explanation. Evan's tweet didn't have it.
The Nets got swept, obviously, I was in a horrible state. I bided my time. I waited so patiently for the day that this would happen. Obviously, as hasn't happened yet because we're down 2-0.
Right.
Or they're down 2-0. But it was always there. It's been saved on my phone for 5 years.
That's dirty, dude.
Yeah, right?
And the great thing is you like this guy. Like,
I like Sal.
Hey, Sal, you know what I would do? Yeah. Here's what I would do. The little bit that Sal is the NLE. Take the phone, stick it up your behind. What he did to you, I wouldn't aid the entertainment of their show.
But I don't think, we're missing the point here. Evan is still upset because he's a Nets fan.
Yes.
He is a jealous, miserable Nets
fan.
But we
already knew that. So he owns it.
In my mind, I've gotten twice. He thinks he's getting me with the Celtics jersey. I beat him then wearing the Celtics jersey and crushed him when his Nets got swept that they were going to win the championship with KD and Kyrie and Harden. And now we're ahead up 2-0 on the Celtics.
The worst part is, as soon as this series started, I reached out to Gio. I said, do you have your leprechaun outfit? He was kind enough to say, let me look. He could not find it. I bought it on Amazon. If I buy this Amazon leprechaun outfit and never get to wear it, could you guys sweep this team? That's going to piss me off too.
See?
What a waste of a leprechaun outfit.
And you're going to be rooting against the Knicks.
Of course he's rooting against the Knicks.
Oh, I say it on the air. I don't stab you from behind. I stab you right in front.
Yeah,
a little side door.
We went to a Knick game years ago. He punched me in the arm when Clifford Robinson hit a game-winning
pass. And it probably felt like a knack at the barbecue.
But still, a coworker hit me in the arm? I mean,
I was excited.
Report it to HR. Get rid of him.
Up, man.
Oh, so I was excited wearing that Celtics jersey.
Would you say when Cliff Robinson hit the shot?
Oh, yeah.
It was Cliff. Ooh, I love
Uncle Cliff.
Was cool.
Little good dip day. In at the buzzer.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 2 seconds to go because then I think Steph took like a full court shot.
Oh, well, gosh. I have no issue with you posting that
Thank
video.
You. I appreciate it.
I think it's fair game. That's
Who
fine.
Wore it better, though, Jerry or you?
I mean, I like my Dominique better than the Porzingis jersey.
I actually like your picture because the smile on your face.
He looks so happy.
Which I respect the hatred. Like, listen, I'm the same way. The smile on your face will be the same smile I have if this series turns.
You started this with the Clifford Robinson. That was me punching back, and now you're trying to get back into it again.
Listen, here's how we would have a real issue if it was a Dino Raja jersey. Because then we would know that he really loves the Celtics.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
It's not that. All right, Evan. Evan and TV coming up next, about an hour from now.
What a troublemaker, dude.
You want to take it? Okay, we're going to throw an update here. We'll come back, get back to your calls. Hey, he's stirring the pot again.
Man, I'll tell you. He is.
That's Marash and Evan right now getting in there. Mm. He hates the Knicks.
He's jealous.
Yes.
Of course he is.
But, like, hates. And he's right.
I think he hates you, just based on what he did to you.
He's going to hate me even more if the Knicks win this series.